background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rental. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting.
We've got an amazing episode coming your way today. We are going to open your mind so that you can be as accessible as possible in your short-term rental, which means so many good things for all parties involved. But before we get to the episode, Annette, who are we sharing this week for our STR Share Sunday hashtag?
All right. This week, and this is a long one, everybody, so bear with me. It is Welcome Slow Floating Home. Okay. And slow is spelled S-L-O-U-G-H. Might be pronouncing it incorrectly, but that's okay. I spelled it right. So Welcome Slow Floating Home. And it is exactly
floating
what it is.
Home.
It's a floating home. We've never featured a floating home before. So it's in Washington. It is legit floating. You're going to have to check it out. Couple of things that you have to know about a floating home. Number one, there are views on views on views, water views all around, which is amazing. But a couple other things that I noticed about their property, they have some little accent areas that I want everybody to know. They have this amazing just blue couch, which like jumps out in the photos. And I love that. They have an amazing backsplash that they've just added some color in their kitchen. And they did a renovation. I want you to check it out of this doorway that was kind of just not being used. And they turned it into a coffee bar area, which is amazing. But they really pay a lot of attention, obviously, to what's going on in the exterior of the home. And so I just love that this is a unique experience, a unique stay, and it's literally on the water. It's floating. So check them out. And I just want to thank them for using our hashtag. And if we're ever in Washington, we're going to have to come float on in the floating home. And like, I wonder if you can drink, if you get,
I have so many
if you
questions,
get knocked around though, if you're drinking your coffee.
I've got to like go dig into
know.
Their property more.
All right.
I need to know.
Well, we will later. Maybe they'll let us know if it ever gets a little rocky out there. But Sarah, let's get on to today's episode.
All right. So we've already had a chat with today's guest. And let me tell you, I think Annette and I cried. We laughed and our minds were blown. Mm-hmm. So we really
all
want you
things.
To, all the things. So buckle up, get ready. This might be an episode that you want to re-listen to later because we're going to have lots of actionable ideas for you, mm-hmm. for your space the way it is now. And if you are, you know, in the process of building, maybe give you some ideas as well. So on today's podcast, we have Lorraine Woodward, and she is the CEO of Becoming Rentable. Rent, and then she capitalizes A-B-L-E, which I love that. A new listing platform where she and her team are aiming to change the way the STR industry looks and defines what it means to have an accessible short-term rental. And you're going to be, before you have any preconceived notions, Lorraine's going to set us all straight over this episode. So just, Lorraine, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
You are a wealth of knowledge, and this topic is something that's near and dear to your heart. I gave you like 2 seconds of what is such an impressive story. Can you tell our listeners and our viewers, we're also here on YouTube, more about yourself and how you got to where you're at today with Becoming Rentable?
Sure. I will start right out to say I have muscular dystrophy. It's interesting because I was talking with somebody recently and they said, Lorraine, it wasn't until my fourth conversation that I realized you're in a wheelchair. We can't tell. And I'm like, yeah, I am. And so I have muscular dystrophy. I have limb girdle. I'm weak in my arms and my legs. I have 2 boys that also have muscular dystrophy. I'm proud to say my boys are 25 and 26 already. Nathan is finishing up a PhD in electrical engineering at NC State, and Alexander's finishing up his senior year in the art school. And I'm a proud mama, and I have owned our short-term rental property now for 7 years. Crazy. I can't believe it goes that fast. But I turned 59 last year, and I'm going, okay, I want to do one like last hurrah before I officially retire. So I'm going, okay, what do I love? What brings me joy and happiness? You know what? It is my renters. I have the best renters in the whole wide world. I love my renters. I live here at the beach where I'm at right now at Carolina Beach, North Carolina. And I love hanging out with them. I love to be a part of their stories. Our property was designed with my family in mind. We didn't vacation a lot. You know, there are three of us, and my husband would totally freak out when the three of us are in scooters or wheelchairs and we're crossing Fifth Avenue and he's having a panic attack. And it's like, no, join us. You know, the car's going to get more damaged than we are if they try to hit us, you know, so we're good. But it was really hard. And then to find something where it would work for us. I mean, we did the Disney trip, but, you know, Robert still had to hoist me off the bed and on and off the toilet and help me in the shower. And finally, by the third time that we went, I stayed home and let the boys go because I was at a point in my life that I needed more than Disney could give me. So what do? So like a good mom, you build your own vacation rental. And that's what we did. We're 3 hours away from our family home in Raleigh. And I built it with a number of things in mind. First and foremost, my boys, because I didn't want them to have their adult life without travel experience, without an opportunity to get away that they could get be independent. And so the second floor is our rental, and I designed it specifically for somebody with the least amount of mobilities or somebody in the last stages of life. And so what that means is we have a hospital bed. We have a large wet room that you can wheel in and take a shower. You can wheel underneath the sink and brush your teeth, and the mirrors are lowered. It's funny, though, because the bathroom is huge. I mean, I don't know what here's what I was thinking. I'm going to have a wheelchair accessible bathroom. You need it to be big enough for a gurney and three attendants. I don't know why I thought of that, but that was kind of so it's like 10 by 12 feet. My boys hate it. They go, Mom, it's too big. And it's like, well, close the door. My favorite thing is when service dogs are here, they love to put their nose on the glider door and push open the door and go in and take a shower with whoever's taking a shower and then, you know, shake it and then leave. But so that's how we built this property. We have a third floor where I'm at now and where my family can come and we can enjoy and be here. And, you know, I was amazed. My renters are from Canada. They're from California. They're from Texas. They're from Maine. They're all over. I'm like, why? Why are you driving 2.5 days to get here? And they were like, because there's nothing else like it. And it's like, no, there has to be. And they would say, no, there's not. And I'm like, yes, there has to be. So on that 59th year, I'm going, okay, what do you want to do? And it's like, I don't want other people to experience what my renters experience, the frustration in finding something, not finding something. So let's get the message out. Let's educate, because I believe through education, you can make change. So how can we change this industry so that more people can live their best life and enjoy it? And so, again, like the gurney with the three attendants, my idea was a TV show. Sure, let's do a TV show. So that's what we set out to do. It's a TV show. It's 13 episodes. It's 30 minutes apart. We tell a story. We have it all set up. We have our sizzle reel, but we haven't pitched it yet. And my team is like, are you ready to pitch it? No, we're not. Are you ready to pitch it? So we've been evolving to now this business as we know it as becoming rentable.
And I know our listeners are like, wait a second, I want to know more. Let's kind of rewind. So the home that you're in right now, you built that from the ground up for you and your family.
Yes.
Okay. And for our listeners out there that might be building something, when it's accessible like this, do you have a different set of architects that help you build this property? Is there something that, I mean, is this a normal builder that can help do, like help prepare a property like this? And these might be some naive questions, but I'm just going to put them out there because those are the things that are coming to my head. Like what is some of the stuff when you were going to the builder that you were like, I have to have XYZ in order for this home to be right for you to enjoy the beach?
Right. Well, for first of all, no, my builder had never built an accessible property in his life.
Okay.
We're building a second property that's a model property in Arkansas, and that builder has never built an accessible property before. So in both cases, they are going, you know, in it with not having any knowledge. And that's the educational part that I love. I used, you know, we have already built an accessible property. In fact, it's the model property that National Easter Seals uses. So we help write what it means to be accessible 21 years ago. So this has been a way of life. And I think of myself, it's like, okay, what do the boys and I need? We have mobility needs. That is what we are. Now, as we're looking at changing what short-term rental looks at and defines an accessible property, we've really broadened that scope. So we now look at properties that are wheelchair accessible, walker accessible, autism accessible, vision and hearing accessible. So when we built this house, it is specific to mobility. So first of all, you drive up, you need a hard surface. So you need to be able to get out of that van. And we're going to assume that it's me because, you know, in life, isn't it always about us?
Yeah.
So, you know, so can Lorraine get out of the van? And so it's hard surface, no gravel, no pack this or that concrete. And then can I get to the front door? So that means it has to be wide enough. And for me, that's 36 inches. ADA today says 32 inches. We believe ADA is way outdated. It's 30 years ago. It's a guide, but it's not a guide that works for somebody like me. So we knew we wanted the doors 36 inches. I needed to go in through the door to get to our property. So that means what we call a zero threshold entry. And that just means it's flat. You might have a little bumpity bump, you know, to get in, but the bigger the bumpity bump, the harder it is. So you really want to make sure it's as flat as possible. Now in our property, you have a hallway that goes up a flight of steps to the second floor. You also in that hallway have a door that leads you to the garage where the elevator is. So when we have steps and we're building for mobility, we keep in mind, how do you get to that second floor? It can be by a chair lift. It's a device that's flat. You wheel on it, you push a button, and we you go. And here we did an elevator. So I knew that. So I knew all my doors, interior and exterior, had to be 36 inches. So we taught the builder that because the builder was going for 32. We also put in glider doors because that's easier and more accessible. You don't have that turning radius to deal with when you open that door versus when it just slides back and forth. So that was important to me. We have two bathrooms, and because of space, one is fully wheelchair accessible and the other is not. We also put a tub in the other one, thinking about children and loving their baths. So we have a traditional bathroom, and then we have our accessible bathroom. And for accessibility, it's I just roll into the space. So there's nothing impeding me able to get into the bathroom. We have grab rails because I can stand and I can use the grab rails. I don't use a chair or a bench, but a lot of people do. So we provide a chair and a bench. We also put grab rails over by the toilet. And when you put in grab rails, you've got to have a blocking. And that's just another piece of material that goes on the wall to put in the grab rails so they're secure, or the fold down bench so it's secure. So in your accessible space in the bathroom where you're going to have things attached to the walls, you need to look at blocking. And I tell people all the time, block your whole space because, you know, we added our grab rails because I didn't know at the time, 7 years ago, where to put grab rails for somebody that needs to transfer to the toilet. I don't transfer to the toilet. I have a little electric device that I sit on and it lifts me up to a standing position and I transfer to my wheelchair. And so I didn't know that. So we added them a year later. Handheld showers. They're not only great for washing the dog and getting the kids, you know, wiped off, but they're good for somebody that is sitting in a shower chair or a bench to wash off and be able to do it independently. The wheel under sink. It's interesting. I was talking with a gentleman out of London and we were talking about, you know, what are the must-haves, you know, in an accessible property? And I said a wheel under sink. And Soren's like, no, I don't need a wheel under sink. I don't have one at my house. And it's like, I don't want to go sideways because it's been a way of life for me. So that's not important. So one of the things in designing a home, what is accessible to one person may not be accessible to the next. And so that's why we have this broadness that we advocate to include, because some people may need it and others may not. My favorite thing to look at when we're looking at properties is the positioning of your mirror. And when people go into the bathroom and you look at properties, look at where the mirror placement is. It's always set up for somebody 6 or 8 feet tall. You know, it's like way up there. But people in wheelchairs, we're shorter and we need to. So the placement of the mirror is really important and it doesn't cost any more. It's just that knowledge of, and then for the living room, we just have maybe an open concept so the wheelchair can navigate the space. In our rental, we have a couch with 2 chairs on either side. The wheelchair, there's not enough space for the wheelchair and the couch to be next to each other, but it can be right across from it. There's no furniture on the other side. And so you can participate in that conversation. You can do a 360 and dance the jig if you want to. But so that open space, the dishwasher, we have that elevated. We have another roll under sink. My favorite is the placement of your light switches and your electrical outlet. One father said, in my next house, I'm making sure I get those light switches lowered because my 4-year-old can turn on and off the lights now. So we're watching a movie and I don't have to get up. I can say, Samantha, would you go turn on and off the lights? So I got my kids turning on and off the lights because they're lower. And that's the beauty of accessibility. You know, from a renter standpoint, it benefits such a broader audience, but all of your renters can benefit from, I think, an accessible property.
Well, that's the thing too that, so I want to go, there's so many things I want to unpack, Lorraine, but number one, can we go back to the comment you made that it still blows my mind? Because when we talked before, you said this, and I think about it constantly because my husband's an architect. And so, you know, he and I have been talking about this too, is the fact that you said ADA is behind the times. Like it's not what they deem accessible is not truly holistically accessible. Besides door widths, is there anything else you can think of that is just behind the times in terms of what they deem accessible? And maybe if you don't, maybe you can speak on why do you think they're behind the times? Why aren't they catching up with the way you're really living right now?
That question I have no idea about. I'm like, you know, the laws are always updated and guidelines are updated. You know, look at the pandemic. You know, those guidelines get updated every few weeks.
Yeah.
But what I think is really interesting about ADA, and kind of not a misconception, but it's not an understanding, and that ADA is required for hotels and motels in the United States. So if you have an accessible property under Title III and you have less than 5 bedrooms, you are not required by law to abide by these guidelines. It doesn't apply to you. And so I think, you know, people will say, well, we're not ADA compliant. Well, you don't have to be ADA compliant. You're a 2-bedroom short-term rental property, a 3-bedroom. You don't have to. It's treated as a home. And the law in a home, a private home, a home that you rent, is not required by law to meet these standards. And that's what the law is for is a broader, a different level. So that's the first thing, because a lot of times people are going, well, I'm not going to be ADA compliant because I don't want to get sued. Mm. Well, you know what? If you're going to get sued, you're going to sue somebody for something in your property, regardless of their disability. Mm. You know, you're not going to get sued because of compliance to ADA, because it doesn't apply to you. Mm. And I think that that's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand. And the same thing with like a service dog, because under the ADA, we have a service dog. And that, I, you know, the big thing for me is that a service dog is a working dog. And the job of that is to provide tasks to allow a person to live independently. And so now there is a lot of support animals. You hear and see, well, what's the difference between a support animal and a service dog under the ADA or in general? Well, the support dog is just that. It's not a trained dog. It provides you that emotional support. It's not under the auspices of ADA. The service dog is under the ADA in that it provides a service. And as a short-term rental property owner, our job is to provide reasonable accommodations, you know, and is that, do you have a designated space where the dog can relieve itself? You know, that would be a reasonable accommodation. It's not like that you have to treat it a lot differently. The question is, do you have to, are you required to grant somebody to have their service dog there, mm-hmm. or not? We do not provide, you know, animals. We're not pet friendly. Well, it's not a pet. It's a working animal. And yes, you do.
Right.
And what does that mean? And what doesn't it mean? It means that, hey, you don't go charge them more money for cleaning because they have a service dog. Chances are that service dog is probably more well behaved than a lot of kids.
And the guests, right? Yeah. For sure. So Lorraine, are you getting, when you built the home originally, did you foresee you becoming a short-term rental host, or was it just for your family's enjoyment in the beginning?
No, I knew I wanted revenue coming in.
Okay.
I wanted to pay for it.
Okay.
And so what I wasn't prepared for, so I thought, okay, I'm building this house, right? And it's for my family, but it's also for this audience. And at the time, in my little brain, I'm thinking mobility. I didn't think the bigger picture. It wasn't till we had been working on becoming rentable did we think of accessibility beyond wheelchair. So we thought wheelchair. So first year, year one, oh man, I knew the flocks were going to come in. We were going to have this puppy booked 365 days a year, and all of these families were going to have these great experiences. We had a lot of party goers. We had a lot of young people. We really did not market our property the way that I recommend marketing it today, and that's by providing information that says we have 36-inch doors. You know, we have an elevator. We have a wheel in this. Well, I'm happy to say now we are booked full time, you know, and the last 5 years, it's predominantly families who can benefit from this property. Not always. I mean, the family that rented this past weekend was a family from Chapel Hill. They had a lovely time. And I love it, actually, when people without disabilities come, because they have a ton of questions. What the heck is this bathroom designed for? You know, it is so big. And why are these lowered in that? And I love to, you know, be able to educate them. But we have a family right now that is here. And, oh my gosh, I love my family. So this family, I'm going to play with while they're here. They have their five children. One is blind. Two have Down syndrome. One has an intellectual disability. And one is in a wheelchair. And I'm having a race with the one in the wheelchair. And in his chair is super cool. It's like this neon green. He can go fast, but I'm going to try to go faster. I'm not going to worry about his age of being 6 or 7. I'm only 60, so I think I should have a running start. But you know what he's excited about? So this is their first time as a family of being able to take a vacation where they didn't have to bring a second car with a bunch of stuff. And he told his mom, he says, Mom, I really get to take a shower on this vacation. A shower. What do you mean? I asked her this morning. I said, what did he mean by, you know, does he get to take a shower? He goes, she said, most of the time he doesn't get to take a shower because the bathrooms aren't accessible to him. And so we take it, you know, for granted. We go on vacation, you know, you want to relax, you're out on the beach, you get stinky, you get sand on you. You want to take a shower. You don't think twice about taking a shower.
No.
But he did. Mm-hmm. And he was grateful. And that's the other thing about people that rent. They appreciate our property so much. You know, I get presents for creating this space. I mean, my presence is, you know, them enjoying it and getting able to hear their stories and meet them. And they're like so grateful and thankful. And, you know, I want to get the word out. People, come on. Not only is it great business, you know, it is also the impact that you're making, you know, and we, you know, vacations are about building and making memories. And a lot of people, 62 million Americans with disabilities, not all of them can make travel memories.
Well, that's something you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think, didn't you talk to us about, I think on our introduction call, of like how much money there is reserved for vacations that people are not spending because there's not accessibility.
Okay, are you holding on tight?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
$658 million in the continental USA that is not being, that's expendable cash available. And it's not being used because people are not finding accessible properties.
Well, and we talk a lot in the show, and shame on us, of, you know, amenities to leave your guests. You can really wow them. And when you told us the story of, because I never thought of it from your husband's perspective. I mean, from your family's perspective, that's one thing. But even from your husband's, who's just like, you know, helping you guys have a vacation, like that is a lot of, you know, extra stress on him and making sure you're happy and enjoying yourself. And he's probably also not able to enjoy himself.
He's exhausted.
Oh my gosh. And so I never thought of it that way either. And it's, and just, you are not obviously the first person who have told us that there is, even with Airbnb and Vrbo, doing a better job of helping us host, at least share what we do have, even if you're not fully accessible, share what you do have so people can find you. It's becoming a little easier on those larger travel agencies, but it's not to the point where these families feel they can spend that money. So listeners, if you are building right now, if you're thinking about building right now, if you're going to renovate, what can you do? This, I mean, you can think of it as an amenity, as a selling feature to be more a broader spectrum for more families to come and be able to enjoy your space. So tell us more about your website and how you're trying to bridge this gap.
So we're a listing platform, which means we don't book. People that have accessible properties are on. We have over 600 properties. Because I think when I first talked to you all, we were just approaching like 200. And so we started listing properties in January of this year. So in 3 months, we're now at over 600 properties. So excited. Our properties are in the area of wheelchair, walker, autism, IDD, vision and hearing. So, and I repeat saying that because there are, people have a variety of different needs, you know, on what they need for an accessible property. And so we realize that, you know, again, what's accessible to me may not be accessible to you. So how do we determine what property that we're going to look at? Well, we have 36 filters on our website. We're trying to gather as much information as we can. You know, are you autism friendly? Meaning, do you have blackout curtains? Do you have a quiet space where people with autism? Autism is a sensory disorder. So you want to think about your senses. You know, do you have odor-free cleaning supplies? You know, so you think of your smell. You think about the lighting and affecting your eyes and your senses. So do you have a dimmer on your light switches so you can modify, you know, how much light is in a particular room? Do you have a weighted blanket? You know, I love it when I go to the dentist, actually, and they put that shield thing on. And I'm like, you can keep it on me as long as you want. I don't know what it is, but it just like gives you comfort. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can't lift a weighted blanket, but if I could, I would want a weighted blanket, So soothing colors on a wall, not having a lot of knickknacks, right? So you want to find out what are things that you can do. You can come to becomingrentable.com. It will help guide you on, you know, what are the things you need for any one of these accessible properties. It also is like, Lorraine, you said a mouthful earlier, which I say a lot of mouthfuls, but I always use zero entry threshold. What the heck does that mean? I mean, I giggle at times when I hear those words. It just means when you go through a door, you don't get the bumpity bump or a step, right? But we show you what that is. We tell you what that is. You can get an idea of what is that cost. So we go through all of our 36 filters and give you information about what they are, where do you go and get them. So we try to be a full service of information. And, okay, everybody get ready. We have just started our certification program. I am so stoked about it. Because for me, the greatest, one of the challenges before we built this place was finding accessible properties, because we would go on these large platforms and we would go through one property and 10 properties and 100 properties a week later, 2 weeks later, not find anything. It's so frustrating of trying to, you know, find out what is accessible. And so on our platform, you can go and you can find and you can pull up the imagery and all of the filters and hopefully find what will meet your family's needs to have those little memories.
Well, I love that spin on that, Lorraine. So listeners, you can go there and find an accessible property, but you can also go there to learn about what kind of accessibility features you might already have. And let's recap really quick some things that people can do right now, which is put dimmers on your lights, get a weighted blanket, get blackout curtains, which I think everyone can like all of those
things. Yeah, all guests would enjoy that for sure. Yeah.
And that's just for autism. I mean, for visually impaired, a really easy one is, I'll tell you an easy one, is under counter lighting. Mm. You know, you don't even have to have an electrician come in. One of my favorite devices for the vision and the hearing impaired accessibility is getting a clock that has a device that you put under the pillow. And I really want this for my 25-year-old. And when the doorbell rings or your alarm goes off, it vibrates to wake you up. There's even one that vibrates the whole mattress. So I totally need that for my, but again, $50, and you have an element of accessibility for the vision and the hearing impaired. What I find also interesting lately is hotels are starting to designate hearing accessible properties because there are a number of things that you can do that don't cost a lot. You're thinking, one of my favorite stories is meeting with, I think I told you all about meeting with a group of investors that said, Lorraine, will you look at our properties? I said, sure. It's a mountain resort community. And I did. And they said, did you see our accessible property? I said, yes, I did. Is it accessible? No, it's not. And so the group says, okay, we're done. I said, why are we done? Lorraine, every one of our properties has steps. They're not accessible. And I said, you know what? People who are blind or people who can't hear or people with autism, they can climb steps and they can benefit and enjoy your property. And so then when we talked about, well, what does it mean? What do we have to do? One of the investors said, okay, I'm having an autism-friendly property. I can make that happen before this season. And he did. And so there's a lot of ways that you can make things accessible to benefit not only this target audience, but also, you know, that you can enjoy and your family members might be able to benefit. Like, say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and time to get up.
Shake them up.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Lorraine, we know that you're actually working on your second accessible property right now, too. Can you give our listeners a little bit about the next part of your journey that you're going on right now?
Oh my gosh. So part of the TV show is telling these stories. And so we have a number of properties that we're in the process of filming so that they'll be a part of the show. But as we broadened our scope of what type of accessible properties there could be, We didn't find one. Oh, I have to send you all pictures too. But anyway, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So anyway, we're building this property in Conway, Arkansas, outside of Little Rock. And it's a property, it's 1,100 square foot. It is called the Little Yellow House because that's what it is. And it's a fully accessible property for wheelchairs, walkers, vision, hearing, and autism IDD. It's all of this into one. And it's an educational property. So I'm lecturing next week to a class of 47, master's degree in occupational therapy. I'll do an hour lecture. The next day, they go to the Little Yellow House. They're going to touch it and feel it and see it and gain that experience. So as they start their careers, they have an understanding of what these things can do. And it will be a working, operational, short-term rental property, but it's really designed to for education. We'll do our open and close for the TV show there. We'll invite companies to come and do educational videos there. It is adorable. There's scallops everywhere. Ooh. We built this little playhouse for where the Hoyer lift is going to live. And it's also a place where kids with autism can go and have private space. It has a door on it. The outside has a flower box on it. It has real window on it. It's so adorable. And so we want to show too what an accessible property looks like. We think so many times of hospital beds. Oh, are they ugly? Ours is not. You know, how can you make something not look accessible? You're going to look at this property and go, what? This is accessible? Exactly. We want a double take, but we're designing it so it will meet these needs and people can learn from it.
Awesome. And for becoming rentable, Lorraine, let's talk to our listeners about can they come to the site? Can they see if their property would be accessible? Talk to us what the next steps for our listeners would be to
educate. Good questions. Yes. Well, something new that we added is list your property. And every day I'm so excited I go in. Today we have three. And so you can go in, fill out your name, your address, and then give information about your property. So we then go in and a lot of times we'll give recommendations back too to say, I didn't see in your description that you've identified that you have X, Y, and Z. Mm. And then we look at it and go, this is an awesome property. And every single one, they have been posted because they are intently designed and created for an accessible property. And so we've added like 10 properties. We've had this available for, gosh, about 6 weeks now. And so we're adding every day new properties so people can actually go online and list their, you know, submit their property to be posted.
Awesome.
And then so what we're hoping is that the property managers will start looking at adding a filter to their site that says maybe certified accessible properties, so that when you have a certification and it's been validated that your property is accessible, it will rise to the top. So that way the experience of looking for an accessible property is a positive one. And that what they see is what they get, that this indeed is an autism-friendly property or a walker-friendly property. But everything on our site has been seen by three different staff people.
Wonderful. And so listeners, even if you like don't have your property yet, or if you're like, there's no way my house is accessible, we still like encourage you to go to Lorraine's site, educate yourself, because we know everyone that probably listens to the show wants to have more properties. So why not start planning? And then if you know, you can either build that home or make some changes or current one, or if you're, you know, with your friends or family or business associates and they're talking about vacation and they need an accessible space, you could at least guide them to becoming rentable to help with that vacation. So we encourage everybody today to at least go look at the site, because I think the main mission that Lorraine was speaking of at the beginning is education is her true passion. And so if everyone can just take a few minutes to go to her site and you know, become familiar with becoming rentable, we would be very thankful for that.
Listeners, and let's say you're not, like, let's say your home is your home. You're going to add the dark out curtains. You'll add a few elements that you can add. You're like, that's what I can do. What you can also do is chat when you talk about short-term rentals with your friends who are interested. When you have a conversation with your guests, I think what Lorraine and Annette and myself need you to do is just talk more about those families who are not thought of, who are having not a great time on vacation, or they don't go because they simply can't enjoy themselves. So let's just talk about those families more, those experiences more. As hosts, even if they're not our guests, you know, they are someone's guests, or they are people we would love to have as guests. So we need to think about those people too. And something that we all can do is just chat about this topic and just and let's blow it up. Let's make it huge. Let's get the conversation going.
Absolutely. And I think what also is, you know, we're talking 26% of the United States has an identifiable disability. Well, usually when you travel, let's say you're an average family of four. So now we're not looking at just 62 million Americans, but 244 million Americans.
Right.
You know, and then we have our temporary disabilities. 9 out of 10 of us will have a short-term disability at some point in our life. And you might have a hip replacement. You might have be pregnant and that you're having a hard time with your trimester pregnancy and you need a higher commode. You cannot lift your leg to go over that step and you need this. So there are times that all of us could potentially enjoy and benefit. Gosh, my son broke his leg and he's using crutches. You know, so again, the benefits are great. And I'll also share this one story. I have lots of stories, you all know. But we are a niche. I mean, even though we reached, 244 million Americans, I mean, that's a lot of people. We reached out to Mayo Clinic. We reached out, of course, to Duke Children's Hospital. We did Mount Sinai. We did St. Jude's Hospital, Cleveland Children's Hospital. We went and we reached these different groups to find out through their concierge service, what is your need for short-term rentals? And that is a huge issue. People are coming into these medical facilities. A lot of times they have to come in the night before, or they have to stay in the area a day or two after a procedure. Where do they go? Particularly since COVID, there's a reluctancy to go to hotels and motels and wanting that short-term rental, but the inventory isn't there. That's a constant issue. In fact, we had such a great response from Mayo Clinic that they are, you know, want to meet and see what they can do to work with us so they can fill that need. And that is a need that exists for all of these hospitals 12 months out of the year. So you're looking at building your inventory. Yes, there is a great places for vacations, but there's also great needs in these communities, particularly with hospitals. You know, so it's really amazing. The other area that we reached out to were sports groups, the wheelchair basketball, the wheelchair tennis, the wheelchair curling group. And sometimes these groups cannot go and play their match because there's not accessible places for them to stay. Mm. And, you know, and that's very sad that they cannot enjoy that part of their leisure activities because of lack of short-term rental properties.
I'm going to ask a question that I'm thinking a lot of listeners have. Lorraine, what kind of insurance do I need to have? Like, I'm nervous. There's going to be wheelchairs in my place. There's going to be, I might have hospital beds. I might have an elevator. Is this more liability for me? I'm just going to put it out there. Is it going to cost me more money?
Nope.
Okay.
I spent more money on the party goers who stood on the settee and fell through the settee, you know, more cleaning up after vomits than I did from a mom blending the child's food in the kitchen so that it can go down their feeding tube. Mm-hmm. So our insurance is like any other insurance.
Awesome.
And we've had minimal issues except me. I leave skid marks everywhere. My husband's like, Lorraine. And I'm like, I know, I just don't know my surroundings. And there's little black marks everywhere. And every year we repaint, not because of my renters. It's because of me not realizing my space. But no, I have no more insurance than you would have.
Gotcha.
And honestly, the truth is I've spent more money on my renters that don't have disabilities than I do. I don't get presents from my non-disabled
people. Right. Not the presents that you want.
Others. I mean, this one family, they're on a farm. They brought their fresh ground beef, their, you know, smoked pork, their fresh eggs, their homemade preserves. And I'm like, come on back anytime.
I love it. So, Lorraine, let's, if you don't mind, we would love if you could share the link to your home we're going to put that in the show notes for our listeners and to the website. But just kind of wrapping up today, what is the one thing, what's the take action that you want our listeners to either know about becoming rentable or what they should focus on in 2022?
Well, I think obviously accessibility and how to look at how can my property reach the most people who can benefit from my property. And if you want to learn more about that, definitely come to becomingrentable.com. And if we don't have that information, I'm a click away, just, you know, contact Becoming Rentable and I'll get you covered. But it's really exposing yourself to the idea of what it means. And what it means is providing people an opportunity to enjoy a vacation, going to an college alumni event, you know, visiting your family, you know, feeling good that you're providing memories that they may not have if you didn't provide that information or accommodations on your property.
Lorraine.
Okay. Okay. Another quick story. Well, I just thought of this when I said that.
We love it.
So I don't think I told you all the story yet. And if I did, just cut me off or delete it from your script or whatever. a property management group said, Lorraine, will you come look at our properties? I said, yes. They had 64 properties. And they said, Lorraine, how many of our properties? We don't think we have that many properties. We're talking maybe one, no more than two. I went back to them. We are certifying 11 properties.
Nice.
17% of their inventory is now going to be able to be more. They were going, we had no idea. We had no idea. They're still in shock that we were able to identify 11. They thought one, maybe, absolutely no more than two. So again, if this is not a way of life for you, you may not understand. You may not see these elements that I look at that go, wow, I can enjoy that space. Mm. You know, you just see the HGTV beautiful spa bathroom that you just had done. And I look at it as, oh, baby, there's a 5-foot radius for me. There's a wheel-in shower. The mirror is right there. I'm good to go. And so, again, it's providing that education and knowledge about what does it take? What does it mean?
Since the Becoming Rentable website, are you excited to maybe travel a bit more and visit some of your listings?
Well, you know what? It's kind of sad. So I was a speaker at the VRMA Spring Conference in Chicago yesterday, and I'm just honored and thrilled to be a part of it. But I couldn't get there because their hotel was not accessible. and so they have platform beds. And because I physically cannot get on a bed and off a bed by myself, I have to have a Hoyer lift. And to have a Hoyer lift means that you have to put the bottom of the lift underneath the bed right, so that you can swing around and hoist me up and down. They don't have that. And there were no accessible short-term rentals in the area. So I was there via Zoom. And so it kind of made me really sad, and I can find myself getting emotional about it because I'm not able. Everybody was like so excited to be there and network and build their business. And I'm like, I want to build my business. I want to meet these people. I want to hug these people. I want to say thank you. I want to say hello. And I couldn't do that. and I'm still not able to go to Santa Fe yet. I want to go to Santa Fe. I do want to go to Chicago. I love Chicago pizza. I mean, it is like, I even ordered it one time and it's like, no, it's not the same. And so I do look forward. I'm most excited about my boys. I really want them to have a different kind of life than I had and a different kind of life than they had growing up. They had a great life and an awesome mom, no doubt about that. But I want them at 26 to go, I want to go to Colorado. And it's like, go to Colorado. And I can't. And Alexander's at an age now that he needs to be lifted a lot out of chairs. And so I see muscular dystrophy is... it's a deterioration of the muscles in your body. So what I could do 10 years ago, I can't do today. So once you lose it, it's gone. It's not anything that you can build back up. Mm-hmm. And it's not like in MS where you have exacerbations where a period of time you might not be able to see, and then you have the connections and you can, or you can't walk. This is after you lose it, you lose it. And, so I really am hopeful and excited for them, that they can have those memories and they can travel and they can do those things that fulfill them in a lot of positive ways.
Well, you're an amazing human, and let this be the exciting, you know, continuation of your journey to change the world, Lorraine.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're so thankful for your time, and hopefully we'll be coming to one of your towns to hang out with you. And like experience the house for ourselves.
All right, listeners, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, so we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.